cliffcentral.com.
It's Sia. S-I-A-Sia, not S-I-Y-A-Sia. You have to be clear about these things. People don't know. You know. All right, Elastic Heart. It's 4 minutes after seven on Thursday morning. We're going to chat to Justice Malala in the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. That's next. But before we get to that, it's only one day to the weekend. And I know normally a Thursday, that isn't news. But considering you only started this week on a Tuesday, that's good news. Don't forget, next week's also.
Ooh, next week is on fire.
Next week we've got like, I'm almost blown away. I mean, next week is a full week. No, Thursday the 27th we've got off. Is it? Yeah, it's next week that we've got the 27th. And then most people won't go to work on the 28th. And then you've got Monday the 1st.
That's an extra long weekend.
That's an extra long weekend. That's a 5-day weekend. It's as long as the week.
Yeah.
But we will be here on Monday the 1st because Monday the 1st of May is our birthday.
Yay!
What did you say, Lucas?
No, I was just explaining to Palisa that on Friday, the Gareth Cliff Show is not here, so...
This coming Friday? No, we're here. Tomorrow.
No, not this one.
You mean that
one,
yeah.
Yeah, that one, which is fantastic, you know.
Yeah, you just... Well, it's fantastic for you and for me and for Mabali and for Ben. And Sia, but you know,
I'm gonna
pull
that 14-hour sleep again.
Yeah, you. This is unreal. He woke up. Did you tell the story yesterday on the show?
No, I didn't.
Lucas admitted yesterday. It was to Pumi and I, right?
Yeah.
So Lucas admitted to us. He went to sleep. When was this? On Friday or Saturday?
Yeah. So my friends took me to Bram for partying on Friday.
Okay.
And so when I got home, the time was 2 a.m. in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to sleep. So I wake up and there's a lot of SMSs on my phone. And I check my phone. I'm like, why are people sending me messages at 8 o'clock in the morning? But when I checked the time, it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Wow.
The next day. So I thought my phone was wrong. I went to check on my computer and my microwave. And like, I think this is the right time.
I love the way you had to cross-reference with two other devices to make sure that you had the right time.
Yeah, but that has never happened before. I've never slept for 14 hours.
I've never slept for 14 hours. Have you?
I don't think so.
I should get an Oscar for that.
Did you have a sore back after that? Because if I sleep for more than 7 or 8 hours, my back actually gets sore, like from lying down.
No, my face, it looked like I got punched by something when I was sleeping.
All pressed into the pillows, right?
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice. Okay, a couple of things we've got to get to before justice comes in. Something is trending everywhere, according to... I hate when I get incomplete messages like this. Can we just check on what's trending? There's apparently something very big going on today. On something's trending, according to... somebody here on WhatsApp. You can get hold of us on WhatsApp, by the way, 0797482090. Greg says, Ben, that athletics that you were talking about sounds amazing. I wish I could attend.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be quite something because these guys have never raced against each other on the scale they are this weekend. And also seeing Costas Semenya in the 400 and the 800, that's going to be amazing to see if she can progress to that with the same prolific nature that she had for the middle distances. Same with Wade Finico going in the 200 and 100.
Temba says, I'm remembering what you used to do when you needed to punish callers for being boring or stupid, and when listeners said something that annoyed you. He says, you used to play that Petula Clark song as punishment.
Oh, gosh. Why did you remind him?
I won't do it, though. I'm not going to punish anybody today. I'm in a good mood. Gareth, he also says, I'm interested if you're still in Touch HD. I'm asking because I listened to Touch Central only because of your involvement in it. Now I have Touch HD's app and it's so spammy with its push notifications. No, I'm not involved there at all. I'm obviously still friends with Touch and we still have, you know, mutual interests, but I'm not involved with Touch HD. That's his own thing. Touch Central was our project we did together for 6 months to kind of launch what he's doing now. And it was a very, very cool project, and we were very pleased to be part of it. So no regrets on that front. I'm very happy that we did what we did together.
Well, here are some of the things that are trending, but I don't see what the one big thing is. So maybe that person can let us know. Zuma as a teacher is trending. Yep. LTDW Somizi. I think his reality show started last night. So okay. That's still trending from yesterday, I think.
All right. SABC. We really need to chat to Somizi again. I think it's long overdue.
Yeah, he's always great.
It's going to be difficult because he's on at the same time as we're on.
Yeah, 5 to 8. SABC is trending. Claudi champion the match. I don't know what that's about. Ramaphosa is trending. He gave an address last night. So what's the big thing?
Well, the fact that Cyril Ramaphosa opened his mouth is, I suppose, a big thing.
Well, he was
so quiet.
He was giving an address at some other event.
Okay. Well, none of those sound very exciting to me.
Well, that's why I want to find out what this one particular thing this person mentioned is.
Oh, you know what I want to do later today is we're going to play the animal noises game. If we have a chance. Okay. Yeah. There's the animal noises game. I've got a bunch of things that Ben wanted to talk about the other day. Women in the mental asylum. Do you remember that story that you sent me about those women in the mental asylum?
I send you so many stories, I've lost track.
Well, just remind me later and we'll get to it. Also, we've got a great Facebook message here from Zimbabwe. Good day, Gareth. It's from Munyaradzi Mube. Says, good day, Gareth. I really appreciate and admire all the stuff that you guys are doing, especially this new platform to bring uncensored, unscripted radio to the people. I appreciate your political openness and what you say without fear. I was wondering if you'd be able to assist the Zimbabwean people to have an alternative media source like yours. For years, Zimbabwean airwaves have been dominated by the ZANU-PF government-controlled ZBC. Recent new entrants into the industry have been chosen on the same party lines and ultimately churn out scripted propaganda for the ZANU-PF party. I've previously given the same idea to the MDC led by Dr. Morgan Tsvangirai to build their own online station, and they were receptive to the idea, but they were hindered by financial woes. Well, we do have some shows that are very Zim-specific here. We've got Zim Conversations, which is now called No Borders, which you can listen to weekly on cliffcentral.com. It's hosted by Kamu Piri and who's the other dude? I've forgotten his name. It's gone out of my mind. Kamu and... Elif is gone. I'll remember just now. Anyway, that show is on every week. I can't believe I've forgotten his name.
We've all just drawn a blank.
KF Malindi. Sorry, of course. KF Malindi. I knew it would pop into my head. So KF and Kamu do that show weekly, and you can listen to that because that's a start. To start a whole channel in Zim, sure. We could do it from here, but then, you know, we'd be doing what KF and Kamu are doing anyway. They bring famous and important Zimbabweans into the studio. They've had everybody from Pastor Evan Mawarire to A.C. Lumumba to famous singers and performers and well-known personalities in Zim. So it's really everything you need, and it's once a week. I can't imagine us doing 24/7, but you never know, Munyaradzi. So keep your eyes open and keep your ears to the ground, and we may just have some other surprises for you along the way. You know, I care about the people of Zim, and I'm interested in giving them something that they don't have there already. Thanks to mobile technology, you don't have to listen to what Uncle Bob tells you to listen to anymore. So I'm very pleased to say that Justice Malala is here. It is 12 after 7. It is time for the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Good morning, Mr. Malala.
Good morning, guys.
It's lovely nice to see you. We did need you to just explain the sleeping pill situation, because Ben and Mavali are both curious about what happened. And I said to Justice when I saw him at a lunch yesterday, it happens to all of us. Morning radio is not for sissies, and sometimes you oversleep, and sometimes you have a very busy night the night before.
Okay, guys, I wanted to be fresh, happy, or, you know, full of humor for the show, okay?
Right.
So what do? I get home, I was at some function, I start writing up, you know, the stuff we talk about, the diary, getting ready, and I think, you know what? I'm going to be up at 3 a.m. So let me take a sleeping pill just to make sure that I'm good. But this little pill was so
powerful.
So powerful that I essentially fell asleep with my phone in my hand, my light on.
Right.
And
What time did you eventually come to?
It was 10 to 8, exactly. So that was scrambling around, calling Lucas. I can do something.
Here, in case you missed it, last week's Burning Platform.
I think it was a little bit louder than that.
All right, Justice, but we've got
according
lots
to my wife.
We've got lots to talk about today, so let's get straight into it.
Sure.
Where do you want to begin? Do you want to begin with the big picture? Why the country is in so much political turmoil? The ANC. I mean, let's start there because that's what everyone's talking
about. Yeah, I mean, I just thought we should from now on the show just be clear about what we're talking about. A lot of us think that, oh, you know, we say the ANC is factionalized, the ANC is this. I don't think it's the case anymore. I think that the ANC is one force, and that force is Jacob Zuma. Mm-hmm. What Jacob Zuma has done is that he found a party, the party of Nelson Mandela, Oliver Tambo, Albert Luthuli, and he's taken it on as a T-shirt, he's put it on. And so that is the ANC. But what's inside that ANC is totally different from the ANC that we've known that has been going on and so forth. So when you look at the institutions of state, the hawks, why is Benning Klemeza still saying, oh, I'm going to work, when the courts have said once, twice, that no, guy, you can't come in? And President Zuma has quiet that, you know, this guy is defying the law and so forth. Why is CELS the mess that it is? Why is the public protector now sort of the poodle of cabinet or of President
Zuma? The NPA.
The NPA.
Every parastatal you'd like to mention.
Exactly. So what has happened here is that the good name, because let's not deny it, the fight against apartheid, the fight against colonialism, all that, the ANC has been magnificent, has been great, it had its problems, yes, but you know what, the idea of it was incredible and amazing. But that idea has now been infiltrated, and it's being run by someone and by a grouping in the ANC that just wants to feast and eat for itself. So whenever things happen now, you need to realize that it's not. You guys, I never got read those children's stories. What's the
nursery
one?
Nursery rhymes.
But that's the
you mean the fairy tales?
What's the one with the? I'll tell you now. The one
don't
with
ask,
the.
Ask me.
The one with the wolf that comes.
Oh,
in.
Little
Red Riding Hood. Oh, okay. That one. Yeah. So you know, in Little Red Riding Hood, I think the wolf comes along and says, "Oh, you know, I'm a nice guy," and so forth. This is what has happened to the ANC. It's the wolf has taken the ANC T-shirt, is wearing it, and still says. But the wolf is in there, and you start seeing the big long teeth. You talk about the NPA. The NPA here. A bit of this. And now, there's no doubt that the Treasury is now full on in the sights and is being taken over in the same way. So I think people need to realize that our politics are very, very different from the politics of the past 20 years. This idea that, oh, the ANC is amazing, is beautiful, and so forth.
It's dead.
It's over. It's dead.
I mean, and it's been subverted. It's like what Donald Trump did with the Republican Party. There is no real Republican Party anymore. Donald Trump used them for his purposes, and exactly. Jacob Zuma is using the ANC for his purposes. There is no ANC.
And that, I think, is something that our listeners need to start thinking about very seriously.
And because aren't you tired of hearing, Justice, all these people who say, oh, but Cyril, oh, but Zweli Mkhize, I was one of those people.
They're
going to stand up, they'll get the good ANC back. It's finished.
No, I think Cyril Ramaphosa gave a speech last night in Sandton to the Black Business Council, and he was saying all kinds of beautiful things. We will fight corruption, we will stop state capture, and this and that and so forth. And what was he doing in the daytime? He was sitting there with Malusi Gigaba saying, oh, everything is all good and so forth, get on a jet plane and go to New York and talk to investors. Now you can't start by saying, oh, your appointment was horrific. It was made up somewhere else, and we were given the list that this is what's going to happen. We weren't even consulted and so forth. Then the next minute, there you are smiling broadly. I mean,
yeah, everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Everything's hanky-dory. It's all good and so forth. By the way, did anyone see Amalusi Gigaba's suit? Man, Jesus.
It's like he was at the Durban July.
Oh, my word. That's a chain smash, man.
But you know, he usually dresses quite well. It's the one thing that you would have said might have impressed some people. But now with that suit, I think he's really done himself some damage.
I know. I mean, who came up with that suit?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's a political signal that we have now begun our descent. Oops, that's the title of my book. So
that is well. Let's give it a plug because it's still relevant, and this is what you predicted would happen. It's all in Justice's book. We have now begun our descent, which is still available in good bookstores now.
Oh, thank you. Can we have some music with that?
Claudi Motsoeneng, we spoke about him earlier, and someone said to me, please stop talking about that clown. But, you know, this guy, somehow he stays in the public imagination. Somehow, even though he, you know, we are paying, you know, the taxpayer via the SABC is still paying him some 350,000 rand a month to sit at home.
Let's not forget that this is a man who allegedly got a bonus of 11 million with another about 30 million, 20 million coming. So, Claudi Motsoeneng is not to be underestimated. We have an individual here who is quite something. Who is can you give me a minute?
What have you got?
I've got something in my eye.
Oh,
it's all the dust in
there. Sure. I mean, what do we do?
Is there dust?
Do we give you a tissue? We've just got a
brand new clean studio. You see, this is real. Everything that happens here is
it's
in real time.
It's too clean in here.
So you were saying Claudi is someone we mustn't underestimate?
Claudi is someone we mustn't underestimate because he represents everything in our society that we don't realize is creeping up on us. Claudi Motsoeneng falsified his metric. Instead of us getting rid of him, we kept him on. We raised him up. He rose up in the organization. But this is a man who's mediocre. You listen to him talk about policy, about the administration of the SABC, the place of the SABC in our democracy. He doesn't get it. He thinks that that the public broadcaster can become a little fiefdom for one or other individual. He's not there for the people who listen to, let's say, DFM or Motsoeding or all these.
No, if anything, what he did to those stations is he eviscerated them and turned them into profitless, bottomless pits that absorb money, and he's moved his own people around and lost all the talent that they used to have.
Exactly.
There's
so
nothing.
What you have now are these essentially cash guzzlers, and who pays? It's government, and he believes that those are successes. But for me, it's if a guy like Claudi Motsoeneng, with his totally, absolutely, his failure in management, his lack of knowledge, basic knowledge of all these things, basic failure to understand the broadcasting environment in South Africa and globally, it tells you something about what this country has become, that even the worst of our worst can rise up on the back of populism, on the back of political patronage, and get to the very top of our institutions. Because let's be fair here, Claudi Motsoeneng was just some guy struggling along, and along came Jacob Zuma, and along came Faith Mutambi, and he is now at the very top. You say we are paying 350,000 rand for him every month, and we will continue to pay because he's got political cover.
He says he can get 20 million votes. Do you believe that?
I don't believe he can get 20 million votes. I don't think our people are stupid, and I don't think we should take them for granted. However, he's the kind of man who will find himself an MP. He could find himself an MP in the backdoor manner that Brian Molefe did, or he could stand on his own as an independent. He'll probably get the 50,000 or 75,000 that he needs to become to get one seat. But here's the thing. What Claudi is doing is what is happening globally, where populists were people who say, I will give. Listen to that press conference yesterday. Someone stands up and says, Saudi, someone who has lived poverty, has not read about it in books. Saudi, someone who does something for kids, he gives donations. Now, you know, this thing about, oh, there's Gareth, he's giving donations to kids. Gareth shouldn't be giving donations to kids, because we as a society should be building an economy where those kids' parents have jobs and they can put their kids through school. So we have this thing that, oh, there he is, he's so good, he's so amazing, he's giving donations. Of course we must all give donations, but let's not forget that, you know, in Saudi's case, he's just recycling our money and taking his 30 million or whatever the bonus was and giving it to those kids. He's no angel. He's no messiah. But this is what we've become. The mediocre have risen to the top. Jacob Zuma, a man who slept with the daughter of his friend who was entrusted to him, is now the president of South Africa. This is the worst of the worst is rising to the top. And this is a reflection of the society. I mean, that's Van Rooyen. Need I say more? Yeah, and don't laugh, Mabali. You know, the Free State has given us Museveni Zizwane too.
I know we are to blame for Saudi. I know justice.
Museveni Zizwane.
And Museveni Zizwane.
Thank you.
And where's Faith from? She's Limpopo.
Yeah. I'm too.
Saudi is from Kwakwa, guys. I'm so embarrassed.
Do people there like him and know him?
No.
No, they don't know him, or no, they don't like him?
I mean,
him.
We don't talk about him on a random Saturday, no.
But he's the son. Son of the soil.
He doesn't feature in our conversations.
I think off a Sunday afternoon, you should, you know, even propose building him a statue way... the Northwest guy, Supra Mahuma Pele, wants to build a statue for the president of South Africa. And it mustn't be less than 6 meters tall, please.
Now, you mentioned Cyril already. You said that he was making a hot air speech last night.
Yeah.
And this is so disappointing for someone who helped write our constitution, who Nelson Mandela wanted anointed as his successor, someone who played such a role in the unions early on. You know, a guy with a great CV like that, who had every reason to ascend to the presidency, is just disappointed. But the other candidates are also out of the starting blocks. Kosa Sana Dlamini Zuma is doing a whirlwind tour to all the places that nobody covers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is clever, because that's where the rural vote will get her in. That's where she'll be able to convince people, oh, you know, we've got social welfare programs, we will look after you, all the stuff that you promised the poor and never have to deliver. I mentioned to Mabali and Ben this morning that the average household income in the Eastern Cape is 2,400 rand a month. According to Stats SA.
That's the average.
Average. That means that you take the richest households and you take the poorest ones and you find something in the middle. And if people are required to live on 2,400 rand a month, you better believe they're going to swallow up Kwasa Sana Dlamini Zuma's promises, because it's all they've got. Hope.
That's all they've got. And so it's interesting with the Nkosa Zana. You're absolutely right. She's speaking in the Free State. She's speaking in the Northwest. Her campaign, there's a website. Someone pointed out to me that it was registered in Panama, but I'm not.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
You know what Panama is famous for? We don't have any extradition treaties with them.
Exactly.
So if you stole money, you could go to Panama.
You absolutely can. But the key here is that she's doing that. She's going to those constituencies which will deliver voters to the ANC conference in December. Cyril Ramaphosa last night was in Sandton speaking to the Black Business Council. The Black Business Council is people like Danisa Baloyi, people like Jimmy Manyi, and so forth, and they're very interesting. But they'll all be at conference in December in their massive posh Cayennes and so forth, but they won't have a vote. They won't even be delegates. They'll probably have like some kind of access where they can go into meetings. But when it comes to voting, they won't be there. They won't be part of it. And so it's absolutely crucial for Cyril to start waking up and saying, am I speaking to the right people? Why isn't he in Limpopo, where President Zuma is about to fire the premier, where President Zuma faces an ANC that's totally divided? He should be speaking to those guys.
Limpopo and KwaZulu-Natal, where they've got massive, massive ructions. Exactly. There are schisms that are happening in the ANC. And
the Eastern Cape.
If Cyril goes to the people who've lost against Jacob Zuma and he promises them things, he could get them on his side.
Absolutely.
So for me, sitting here talking to Jimmy Money in Sandton. I mean, please, Jimmy Money needs no persuasion. Jimmy Money will do whatever he's told. Whoever pays him, whoever pays the piper, Bell Pottinger included.
So this is why it's becoming a very interesting race. And I think Zwelin Mkhize is becoming more interesting than even Cyril Ramaphosa. If you look at his utterances over the past few weeks, if you look at the speeches he's making, they're very... There's a campaign, and it's slow burn, but it's getting there. It's rising. He's doing interesting things in KwaZulu-Natal, where he's speaking to Senzo Mkhunu, who was defeated by Sihle Zikalala. That's about 49-50% of the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, which says Sihle Zikalala says we must support Nkosazana, and yes, they're in bed together, and President Zuma and so forth, and President Zuma's nephew, Super Zuma.
Super Zuma, what a name. I love that name. Super Zuma.
I love that name.
It's like a cartoon character hero, you know?
Yes, yes.
You know Jacob Zuma. You know Nkosazana Zuma. But do you know Super Zuma? All right, so these people are obviously contesting for position in that province, but this is an opportunity for Zweli, who's been premier there before.
Yeah. Zweli also is highly regarded by the business community. So it's no longer just, oh, Cyril is so lovely, he's a businessman. Mm-hmm. If you look at what happened with the firing of Nhlanhla Nene, the person who really mediated that story until Pravin Gordhan was appointed by President Zuma was Zweli Mkhize. Over the past 3 weeks, he's spoken at Gibbs, he's spoken elsewhere. He's got his own, he's issued two statements on his own. The statement on the cabinet reshuffle, the statement on the disruptions at Ahmed Kathrada's memorial in KwaZulu-Natal. And you can see that he's beginning to take charge of his image, of his messaging, of there's a team that works with him that is responsible for how he conducts his diary and very careful meetings here and there and here and there and so forth. When he stood on the same stage with Jacob Zuma about 10 days ago, they did the photo op and he hopped off and left before Jacob Zuma spoke. Essentially,
saying, this is not my guy.
This is not my guy. This is not the distance. And I think he's worth watching, because I think he's also playing the right constituencies. That KwaZulu-Natal constituency, once you break KwaZulu-Natal, Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma is not the force that many think.
And he's doing it by ANC rules. You know, you don't overtly campaign. You don't make yourself available. You don't go out there and try and blow people away with grand speeches and grand designs. He's just quietly getting on with the hard work of campaigning.
Absolutely.
All right, so he is one to watch. We had him in here the other day, and he was very, very charming, and he's got a nice way about him. He's also the kind of person who's inoffensive. And I know normally that wouldn't be a compliment, because you'd think that means someone doesn't have personality.
Dallas Dishota, you want to say.
But isn't that exactly what you want in an effective politician, particularly before they become president?
In a place like this where it's so fraught and the environment is so fraught.
I think personality politics are poisonous.
They're poisonous for the individual particularly. So he's doing it right. He's playing it softly. But a lot of people are talking about him. And so I think with all three, you're going to see a lot of standing on public platforms, breast beating, this, that. But it's interesting.
Let's set the record straight for those people who say that all those marches were useless. We had a very successful march last week with all the political parties. Mm. I think for a lot of people in South Africa, it gave them huge hope and courage to see Bantu Holomisa, Musiwa Lekota, Julius Malema, Musi Maimane, all of these people, the ACDP, Kenneth Meshwe, all of those people marching together
I think the marketing campaign of that match was the guy who pitched up and said he started a party called the Shosho Loza Party.
Yes.
And I think their manifesto is singing Shosho Loza. And everyone sang along. I mean, but I think the key thing is that I've been amazed by people jumping up and down saying, oh, matches don't help. Matches are not, you know, why are we matching? Mm-hmm. You don't do anything. Jacob Zuma will just sit there. I want to just say, guys, Mahatma Gandhi marched and India became free.
Martin Luther King marched.
Martin Luther King marched.
And the civil rights movement was taken to the top of the agenda.
Exactly. And the Jim Crow laws, all that came off. So we
the
need
French
to...
The French Revolution started with a march and they got the king's head off eventually.
Thank you. South Africa in the 1980s, the defiance campaign, what happened? South Africa became free in 1994. The ANC, Nelson Mandela, in the 1950s, the most effective ANC campaigns in the 1950s, Nelson Mandela, marching in the streets of Johannesburg.
Women getting the vote in the beginning of this last century.
Exactly.
Even the Black Sash March and the Women's March to the Union Buildings. Which entrenched women's rights as an important thing.
Which we still not only, celebrate today.
Correct, not only in our constitution now, but even in the Freedom Charter, which was heralded, you know, in the 1960s and 70s.
So we need to just point out to people, there are many, many who've been saying, oh, wow, the dear, what did it help? Jacob Zuma is still in power. Jacob Zuma is in power, but he is feeling the heat. And this is why marching, standing up, adding your voice is absolutely, absolutely crucial. So, you know, let's just stop that right now.
I do want to go back to Nkosi Sanat Dlamini Zuma for a minute because she is the talk of the town. And anybody who writes political blogs, anyone who analyzes politics, anyone who's written books, anyone who's interested in reading the newspapers every day is talking about Nkosi Sanat. And the big story of this week is something I want your opinion on. She was apparently robbed. She's in terrible danger and we need to protect her. So we have to use state resources to protect a woman who has no role in the state. Can you explain
well,
this to me?
I mean, I read the Sunday Times story and I'm still confused because we have her. She's got the presidential protection unit. You'll remember when she came back from the AU, as a courtesy, we are told, the protection services were extended to her until the end of last month.
Mm-hmm.
And now everyone says, oh, Nkosi Sanat has got a presidential protection detail with her. What's going on? It turns out that there's a B&B which now got a lot of, advertising freely. Because Thabo Mofumahadi, now Thabo Mofumahadi is a great guy. He was the MEC for Economic Affairs in Limpopo in the past. He's a property mogul. And he's an MP as well. And he's been ANC head of economics in parliament, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He says, oh, I was driving into this B&B in Houghton when you know, my driver saw someone about to attack me and he drove in and the gates were closed. And, oh, it was dangerous. It was dangerous. Terrible, terrible thing. So no one got hurt. Nothing happened.
Worst things happen to normal South Africans like you and me and Mabali and Ben every
exactly,
day.
Exactly, exactly. Now, why, if Thabo Mofumahadi was being attacked, why doesn't he get, okay, I don't think he needs my help or the taxpayers' help in protecting himself. But why is he not getting the presidential protection detail? She's getting it. Hello? She doesn't even live there. But no, he got attacked. She gets the... Then the other story is that, no, actually, he was kidnapped and there were six men and, you know, let's give him Nkosi Sanat protection. Why doesn't he get the protection then? Then, why exactly? Will someone... So... Anyway, someone walks along. I like these reporters. They, you know, saddle up to the owner and the security guard and say, oh, that little incident you had here. What incident? There was no incident here. We don't know about the incident.
Totally made up.
Totally made up. So basically, let's call it what it is. A crisis was invented just so that she could continue to have two cars, bodyguards, blue lights, mm-hmm. so that she can campaign. There was no incident here. There is no record of an incident. The police have no file. So we're making it up to give someone, boom,
presidential protection, which is very expensive.
At how much per day?
Yeah, and you know what? It would be fine if every citizen in the country had police protection of that level.
Exactly.
But for this one person who just happens to be the president's favorite candidate to take over after him, it's outrageous.
Someone
has got to close these taps. I don't know how these people in government think they can be spending money left, right, and center like this. We're in deficit. SARS are warning that we're not going to bring in the money we used to.
There's a word for it. It's called corruption. That's the word for it. You can't do this. This is taxpayers' money. But we've clearly reached a stage where it's become a fiefdom. It's, no, my relative, my candidate needs, you know, everyone else. I've got presidential protection. My wives have presidential protection. Oops, she will have presidential protection too. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma tells us a lot about her own candidacy when she accepts these sorts of things. Because, well, it's elect me and let me become ANC president and president in 2019.
And
what do you have?
I'll carry on the network of patronage.
Exactly.
I'll make sure that I have presidential protection and everything else, and you just carry on suffering in the corner. Now, what about Malusi Gigaba? When we're talking about money, he's the new finance minister. He's off to America to woo investors, to tell them how great everything is. He may be an impressive person. I want to give credit where it might be due in terms of his ability to charm and sway and convince. Maybe he's the best at it. Who knows? I've never been in a room where Malusi Gigaba gave a speech, and I can't say that I was moved or unmoved by the things I have heard about him before. But there is no way, right, Justice, that this guy could be more well-versed in the world economy, in financial movement, in resources and currencies and trade than Pravin Gordhan. And he's going over to take over where Pravin left off in terms of persuading people that South Africa is still a good place to put your money. How do we feel about this?
We're playing that song, Going to America.
That's James Brown.
Is that James Brown?
I think it's Coming to America. Yeah, let me find it for you. I love that song.
Living in America?
Living in America.
Wow,
much.
Ben, thank you.
That's what happens when you watch Rocky movies, Justice.
That's right, James Brown. Yeah. Living in America. All right, so tell us what's going to happen.
Yeah, so Malusi Gigaba. You see, guys, when Pravin Gordhan was fired, something much bigger broke. You'll remember that last year, after Nhlanhla Nene was fired, President Zuma invited, the CEO said, we need a meeting. You know, what's happened here is outrageous, it's terrible, and so forth. So 100 CEOs fly to Cape Town. You couldn't land your private jet, Mabale. I know you know.
It was a tough day that day when I couldn't land my private jet.
It was terrible.
It was annoying.
Because 100 CEOs have come to me, the president, the deputy president, the finance minister. They have this big da-da-da, and they say, guys, we've got a problem.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Confidence knocked out of the system. Let's go out there and meet people. So Pravin and Jabu Mabuza and all these top business people get on a jet plane, boom, go to New York, London, Boston, and say, guys, yes, something bad happened here, but we are together. We're working this thing. So 2 Mondays ago, when President Zuma told a junior official in his office to call an official at Treasury and tell them that Pravin must come back right this minute, it was such a slap in the face of these business people who, of their own volition, took time off to go with Pravin to present to these business people. Massive delegation of South African business people, treasury officials, and so forth. They then, when Pravin had to come back, they are left with egg on their face. They have to stand there and say, no, everything's okay. And those guys across are saying, but not everything's okay. The finance minister has just been recalled. I'm reading here and I'm listening to Cliff Central on my app, and it says he's about to be fired. And lo and behold, midnight the Thursday, they are fired. So what has been broken is confidence. And Malusi Gigaba, in my view, needed to start rebuilding that confidence.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't done that. What he has done is that he says, I, Superman, I'm going to tell those investors, I'm going to tell the ratings agencies that I'm the man. I'm going to fix this all on my own. And boom, it will be hunky-dory. That's the problem here. The people who were the labor leaders, remember that Pravin went with labor leaders, business leaders. That triumvirate is what ensured that last year we were not downgraded. Those guys said, we think that there is renewed resolve in South Africa to fix the problems that are there. Now, a guy in a check suit pitches up and says, no, I'm going to fix this. Radical economic transformation is the one that's going to happen. So we have a fundamental problem here. No one in South Africa, in the business community here, these are called domestic investors. People think, oh, when we talk about investors, they're going to come on a, on like the land from Mars. No, investors are Mabale saying, I'm going to open my shop on the corner. But if she starts saying, I won't open my shop because I'll be robbed, that's a domestic investor saying, I'm keeping my money at the bank and it will make whatever, 8%, 7% interest, mm-hmm. instead of putting it to work at the corner shop. So the domestic investors are saying, we have no faith in this guy. He's going off. If he hasn't even tried to convince his domestic investors. He's going off to speak to foreign investors.
And then he has an advisor, a guy called Chris Malekan, who is a professor, I'm led to believe.
Yes, he is at Wits.
And he is someone who has very interesting ideas about how the world economy works and what kind of thing we should be doing in South Africa to make the economy grow. He says nationalization is a great policy to follow. Now, something even Julius has stopped talking about.
I have to tell you, if you follow the EFF or COSATU, now Chris is an interesting guy. And when COSATU holds its central executive committee, he's the man they call to come and give an input on the economy. When the EFF in the past has held its meetings, for example, in its preparatory meetings to launch the EFF, who gave this their input? It's Chris Malekane. So it's not like, for many of us, it's like that's who Chris is. That's his stance. He's unapologetic. He's always been that. So when the finance minister appoints him, that he didn't know that these are Chris's views. I'm shocked and surprised. He should have known, and he should have signaled that this is what I'm saying.
And at a moment where already confidence is as low as it is, you've said it's been shattered. You've got a minister who has no track record. He hasn't got much experience in financial economic affairs. And he appoints this guy who talks about nationalization. There is not an investor in the universe who's going to even listen to Malusi Gigaba in New York.
Exactly. So
it's a waste of our money. We could take the 100,000 rand his first class ticket is going to cost, and we could put that into a business here,
he
and it would do more.
He shot himself in the foot. Now, you know, I know Chris Malekane, and I know exactly what Chris stands for. Everyone in government knows. Everyone in the ANC. When there's a tripartite alliance meeting, the COSATU guys always pitch up with Professor Chris Malekane. Used to be the economic advisor to COSATU. He's the guy who prepares the COSATU position. Then the Communist Party arrives and the ANC arrives. And the Communist Party says, you failed. And the COSATU says, you failed. And the ANC says, we're doing okay. And so to appoint Chris without due care of this is what... He shouldn't have been surprised by the storm that's happened.
It's like you want to put 100 rand away so that it will grow, and you give it to someone who you know spends money and doesn't know anything about how to grow it.
You know, so it will be interesting. I look forward to hearing what he has to say. But quite frankly, it hasn't been a great start. Maybe it'll get better. Let's hope it gets better.
All right, Justice, thank you very much. That's the burning platform for today on cliffcentral.com. Justice Malala will return next week, same time, same place. Oh, no, hang on. Next week is a public holiday. We're not doing next week.
Yes, freedom.
It's freedom. Yeah, so no burning platform. The week after, we'll have Justice back with another look. And by then, there'll be even more controversy to talk about. You know how it goes. So make sure you don't miss that. The burning platform, as always, powered by Nando's. And in case you're a little hungry this morning, then that's the place to go and check out, because you know that Nando's is the who makes better chicken in the world? And look at how well it's doing all over the world. Started here in South Africa. Nando's actually I think they've got a birthday coming up this year. They've got a big birthday that they're celebrating, and we'll be celebrating it with them. So we'll tell you more about that as we get closer to the time of the birthday. I think it's sort of 20, August.
20 years?
20 years.
Sorry, 30 years.
Is it 20 or 30? That's why I wasn't 30. Sure.
It's the big 30.
All right, big 30. So all of that happening with Nando's, and don't forget the Burning Platform every week. You can always catch up on podcasts you might have missed from last week. Or any of the others, you can go and get them at cliffcentral.com.
All right, Paul, it's day 559 of Becky's Not Over Brad Marathon.
We're here live on a, frankly, delicious bolognese stain on the living room wall.
I love what she hasn't done with her hair,
stunning,
you know?
Stunning. Works so well with that dirty, oversized ex-boyfriend sweater.
And looks like we'll kick things off with a hit of the old cheese in a can.
Classic.
I mean, if that isn't perfectly timed, cheesy aerosol magnificence, I don't know what is.
Me neither, Ken. Now, look at this focus.
Yeah.
This commitment to season 3 of Obese Brides.
That's fat. I mean, 6 hours and... counting, unwavering.
Stop that.
Oh, another hit of cheese. And looks like she'll break now for some social media stalking.
Swiping through the ex's photos like a wild cat in a litter box.
She's already zooming in on a pic of the ex snogging a random.
Observe the bottom lip quiver, the face crumple. Oh, no. Nice. There is a bubble in that left nostril. That is moist.
Oh, this is big. Whoa, hold it. Hold it, Paul. Oh, yes. This seems to be an 8.7 on the ugly cry scale, Paul.
Yes, what a moment. You know what? I think this calls for some annoying face buzzing, Ken.
Agreed. Right behind you, Paul. Right behind you.
Flies see too much. Kill them. With fast, deadly doom. She draws an oval. He says...
Oh, rugby. Springboks. Rugby World Cup 1995. Francois Pienaar. Nelson. Yes, Nelson Mandela.
Pictionary. Know your partner.
Oh, yeah. I like it a lot. It's called Lit Up. Jean Tonique featuring Dirty Radio. How do you like that, huh? Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice?
Dirty Radio, hey?
Damn right. Do you know that within the next 2 months, every single morning show on commercial radio in South Africa will be less than 6 months old? Every single morning show on South African morning radio will be less than 6 months old. All commercial stations. I mean, Kaya announced they put David O'Sullivan on, you know, fresh move to Metro. Who knows who's going to be on Five?
Anele.
I felt Anele. Jack Aranda's changing their morning show.
What?
Power FM changing their morning show.
Again.
Yeah, it's all just up in the air. Nobody knows what's going on.
Do you think it's just coincidence, or is it a case of, you know, when they see one or two stations doing it, then they feel pressure to also have a change?
First of all, management don't know what the hell they're doing. They never have. Second of all, there's just not enough good, interesting stuff to go around. So they're panicking. This is how panicking people behave. They don't know what to do. It's clear. It's patently obvious to everybody. They don't know what to do. It's a disaster. I'm so glad we're not in radio anymore. Can you imagine us dealing with management now? Do you remember, Mubs? Do you remember what it was like? The pain, the torment, the meetings. Remember those meetings they wanted all the time?
Well, any meeting in any establishment is just...
Fuck you!
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right. Well, the Doom ad is hilarious. Yeah, we're playing a couple of ads from Doom. We've got a couple of commercials here, and people are loving them. That just came through. And listening to cliffcentral.com on the app with Justice Malala and the Burning Platform. Love it. That's Naomi. Thank you very, very much, Naomi, and welcome to the family. Kieran says, great show, thanks. So we got a lot of new listeners this morning, and you can tell all your friends and family, even your enemies need to know what they are missing out on here. Ben was listening to an Australian television and radio personality called, what's his name, Alan?
Alan Jones.
Alan Jones.
Fascinating guy. Yeah, he was a hugely successful coach of the Australian rugby team in the 80s.
Right.
Like, hugely successful. And then he's going to politics. He's in the most hectic of political debates you can find online. And then he hosts a Sydney morning radio show where he, like, he's a very controversial old grizzly bastard, basically. But so, there's so much funny stuff about him out there.
So you got a couple of clips of him here, and I love playing these guys. That's why I brought up radio in the beginning, because a lot of these old radio dudes are very grumpy people.
So grumpy.
And this guy, he complains about dust all the time. In the, you know, Justice was saying when he was wiping his eye earlier, he had something in his eye. He was saying that there's dust in the studio, which is nonsense, because I saw him clean it myself last night. At what time was I here? You were working away with the... with the Hoover, you were busy cleaning chairs, you were doing everything. I was so surprised.
Gaibo, did Justice say there's dust in the studio?
Yeah, I mean, how dare he?
Yeah,
no, can you believe that?
Really? I didn't hear him say that.
No, he did.
You know,
it was unfair as well.
I was here at 7 o'clock last night, and Lucas was cleaning. So, how dare he? Right?
True, eh?
Listen to this guy, though. This is Alan Jones talking about the dust in his studio.
Everyone must surely be in favour of drug testing. All the claptrap about individual rights... and legal rights is just that, claptrap. Every player signs a player's registration form, which says in point two of that form, and I quote, I agree to undergo the... Oh, there's fucking dust in this studio. You know, if it was bloody John Laws or someone, the whole joint would be cleaned out. It's just fucking ridiculous.
So, obviously it's a recording because you can't swear like that on radio, but yeah. The guy just loses it.
So basically someone's put this online, like someone who's worked with him has just grassed him up by putting all this sort of uncensored stuff on there.
Well, you see, when you're doing recordings for radio, for television, they have to do a couple of takes sometimes. Maybe you mess up your lines or whatever it might be. So in this case, someone kept the recordings. I'm sure there are recordings of me losing it somewhere in a recording studio. Luckily, I don't do voiceovers or scripts anymore, but you know, there are people who do that. Even Weza Matumane, who's like, we've made him, along with all the hard work he's done himself, but we've made him a celebrity here. You know, he's the biggest voiceover artist in South Africa now. And even he must lose it sometimes, although I don't think he swears. He's much too well there.
No, he's far too dignified for that.
But listen to Alan Jones losing it a second time later on.
One of the leaders of the Labour Party was one of the prime architects of the original United Nations, the charter of which was drawn up... Oh, there's dust in here. Jesus, that's bloody insufferable. How does this happen?
No idea, mate.
Well, mate, can't you sense there's dust in here? I can't breathe. Oh, I see.
No,
I've
got
yeah, okay. Well, there's fucking dust, and I've got a bloody record here.
I just believe it.
Right, well, let's start again. I can't record it here. I can't breathe.
I love this. This is my favorite stuff. Why is it that I find this so entertaining?
It's so human. It's just like you can relate instantly to this.
Because you know, everyone in broadcasting is always trying to be so professional, and they don't ever lose their temper. And they don't make mistakes. When they do screw up, it's just so funny. Here he's going on a rant. You got to listen to this guy. I mean, he's kind of entertaining. I don't know if he's still working or not.
Yeah.
Jesus, I hope someone understands how fucking irritated I am by this. And that I don't give a fuck. I'm not doing this again. I don't see where my life should be made of fucking misery because I'm not given the right instructions.
Oh, I love it. That's so great. And when you do these recordings, then there's always someone sitting there who wants you to, could you speed that up a little? You know, especially for commercials. They said, could you read that again and perhaps put all the emphasis on the word they? Thank you. Some advertising agency person. So you know how that gets.
Shit. Have to start again. Let's go. Are we right? Early December will then be a very real option. For my money, it's highly unlikely that the pilots dispute Oh, shit. Oh, God, nothing is working today. Then it's hard to imagine Mr. Hawke calling a poll. Oh, God almighty. Oh, mate, can you just hang on? It's fucking typing. Jesus Christ.
It's so good. It's just my favorite thing. I love this stuff. Here he is doing an ad. Those are the worst. to record commercials.
Hello, I'm Alan Jones. I urge you to support the 902LM's Christmas... You're a smart ass too.
What they need is a good copywriter.
Isn't it dreadful? How do you try and say 2LM's Children's Christmas? Go on, you say, dickhead.
2LM's Children's Christmas.
No, I couldn't say it if you were being paid. And no one would ask you to be paid to say it. Now, here we go.
I think they're mine too much.
Hello, I'm Alan Jones. Phone... Oh, shit. Hello. Oh. Well, look at this. I mean, no one says, Alan Jones here. This is Alan Jones. Well, our Hendo says, this is Brian Henderson. Is that all right? You're supposed to proofread these, you little prick.
What a guy. I love it.
Yeah, he's currently still working. He's got a morning show in Sydney, and he gets like amazing callers, and he really has a go at certain people in politics. So if you go onto YouTube, you can find this guy fighting with so many different people.
That's great. Bill O'Reilly.
I think he's even running for office or something like that now.
Probably. A lot of these broadcasters do. Bill O'Reilly is still in the news. They found out that 5 women received payouts from 21st Century Fox for agreeing to keep quiet or not pursue legal proceedings over alleged harassment by Bill O'Reilly. This guy is such a filthy animal. And, you know, I don't know whether it's whether all men are just... I mean, Mubs, you sometimes say it, and I know you don't hate all men. I know you've said before, you know, you find us useful sometimes. But... Men, this guy is just such a creep. He's not at Bill Cosby levels of creep, but another Bill with a problem. There's Bill Clinton, there's Bill Cosby, now there's Bill O'Reilly. If your name is Bill, you're in big trouble, because you're next. Documents detail verbal abuse, unwanted advances, offensive comments, and phone calls from the anchor that sounded as if O'Reilly was masturbating.
Where? At work?
Again. These women were getting calls, and he'd be going... be talking to them on the phone, going...
Hey, honey, it's Bill.
Oh, hi, Bill.
Hi.
Bill, are you masturbating?
No. I was calling to offer you a job.
What's that sound, Bill?
It's just, I think we have a bad line. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Can you imagine?
Can you imagine getting a call from Bill O'Reilly? Now, you're a woman who's in broadcasting. You think, this guy is going to get me the job I've always wanted. You're on Fox, the biggest cable news channel in America. You're like, if I could just get into Bill's good books and I could be a contributor on his show, I would be rich. I'd be made. But then he's masturbating on the phone while he's talking to you. Are you meant to just ignore that? You meant to pretend that isn't happening?
No, because in essence, that's a, you know, especially in the workplace, that's a reminder of how you are viewed as nothing more than a sex object, really. Like, we could care less about whatever.
Yeah, yeah, you might
whatever.
Have.
Talent or ability you have,
your
contribution is not. It's of no interest to us. Just give me some sex, and we'll be done.
Show me your tits.
Bill, are you there?
Yeah. Oh, can you hike your skirt up just a little more and maybe pull your panties to the side?
Bill, I'm trying to audition for the job as news anchor on your show.
And you'll get it, baby. You just have to. Just breathe deeply into the phone.
What a creep. You could tell this guy probably only got laid for the first time when he was in his late 20s. There's no way that this guy was getting sex when he was younger. I mean, that's why he's behaving like this. According to the publication, the New York Times, payouts have totaled close to $13 million just to keep these women quiet.
Is this $13 million that Fox paid or that Bill paid?
No, that's what Fox paid. Bill has paid some... $10 million as well.
Yeah.
Now, you know what? This guy's at the top of his game, and he's so smug on TV. He's such a douchebag. You know, he's the kind of guy who nobody in media wants to be friends with. He's smug. He's full of himself. He's always got the answer to everything. He's He's got no. He never admits any weakness. He never talks about his own failings because he's so perfect.
Well, he's that typical man who suffers from a superiority complex.
And clearly he has no game with women. I mean, if he has to do this stuff, there's no game at all. The guy is completely unattractive
in every way, his appearance,
his behavior, his attitude, his voice, his sense of humor, if he has any. He thinks he's got something, but if he didn't have that job, he would not have ever got any poontang in his life.
Well, if he wasn't Bill O'Reilly.
Right. I don't know a woman who would touch him with a barge pole with a health inspector on the end.
Ah, look, there might be one or two women who would. Is he married? Well, His wife?
The ones who got paid out, clearly.
Is he married?
No, he was married. He's divorced now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and you can imagine that married. Poor woman's life. You imagine her. She's like, listen to what I've married here.
They
you
always get
hear?
Married on, when their career's on the up in the beginning, and they think this is it. They live that life, and then they just become, well, so cliched after that.
And he's written all these books. Basically about...
how to get ahead in the office?
No, he's actually written books about religion, funnily enough, about the real Jesus and all of that.
Ah, so yeah, it's the holier-than-thou complex, so then you can go and sexually harass women.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you could use religion for a bunch of different things, and a lot of people do, and Bill O'Reilly would be no different. But it is, I mean, it's just creepy. Listen to this. This is the story the advertiser's pulling out now. Despite numerous sexual harassment allegations against him, he has a new contract with Fox News. So they're keeping him. He's obviously bringing in so much money that they can't help it. They've got to... They'd pay out $13 million, and it's still worth keeping him because he's bringing in so much more. According to the New York Times, he reportedly paid $10 million of his own money to settle the claims, in which he denies any wrongdoing, along with the $13 million they've paid. But they say when they do the calculations... He denies the merits of these claims. Mr. O'Reilly has resolved that he's regarded this as his personal responsibility. So he thinks he's going to, you know, he's going to deal with this. He's just going to make it go away. What a creep.
So from the network's point of view, it's cheaper for them to pay out $13 million to these women rather than lose Bill O'Reilly. Essentially, that's...
It would appear that way.
Yeah.
Although I've just read a news story that says apparently it looks like he might have been fired by Fox News.
Oh, no, that would be a bigger story.
It would be a big story, right? I mean, that's just one headline I saw. It might be fake news.
Yeah, I suspect that would be a much bigger story.
There's a lot of fake news going around. All right, we're going to play some games in a while. We're also going to meet two women that I had the privilege of meeting the other day. They're doing really interesting work, and I'm going to introduce them to you this morning. Their names are Sindiswa and Nonhlanhla. They are activists of a kind. They've got this incredible foundation called the Unom Kubulwane Unearthed.
No, you just
Unom Kubulwane.
Well
See,
done.
I got it.
Well done.
It's a multicultural, non-sexist, apolitical movement targeting holistic social issues affecting women, giving them a platform to discuss in a free and open manner and unearthing the true goddess in every woman. So I thought, you know what? When I met them, they just seemed to me to be the kind of people who are full of good ideas, and I thought we'd talk to them. So they're coming in this morning, and we'll chat to them in the next couple of minutes.
Can we talk weight loss for a bit?
Oh, sure, yes, please.
Bring it on.
We can always talk weight loss.
Well, a great, fantastic new weight loss routine has been revealed.
Tell us.
It's called socialist government.
Oh, how does that work? Does it just starve the people?
Well, people in Venezuela, on average, lost about 8 kilograms last year.
Oh. Because there's no food.
Exactly, Gareth.
Shame.
Wow, that's pretty... That's
75% awful. of the population of Venezuela lost about 8 kilograms.
75%.
That's a lot of people, right?
Well, we've got a problem in South Africa with obesity. Maybe this is President Zuma's big plan, is that if he destroys the economy, we'll all go hungry and then we'll be thin.
Yep. Recent surveys in the country say that 93% of Venezuelans could not afford their food expenses. 93%.
Yeah.
So... About 80% are not covering the 2,000 calories a day. And what happens when you have no money for food? You just end up eating very base carbs, right? Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shame. That's horrible.
But it gets even worse.
Poor Venezuela.
So, I mean, from the aesthetic weight loss aside, millions of kids aren't going to school now because they're hungry or they're like dying of starvation.
Oh, my
God. So there's also that. It just gets worse and worse, all the different ripple effects.
So anybody who really thinks that socialism and going left of center for South Africa is a good idea, I urge you to please pay careful attention to Venezuela. It is a perfect 2017 case study. You don't need to go back into Communist Russia, the Bolshevik Revolution. You don't need to show me what happened in Cuba. You can go and look at Venezuela, country that was prosperous. There was oil. There was financial stability. And good old Hugo Chavez, who used to be Julius Malema's hero, came into power, and look at what he has wrought. Look at what socialism does to a country. Now the people are losing weight. 75% of the people are that much lighter because they just can't find a scrap to eat.
That is a big impact.
You know, 8 kilograms, that's probably, okay, let's just say if I lost 8 kilograms, that's 10% of my body weight gone.
Carl says that they have fired Bill O'Reilly from Fox. That's Carl and Josie. So Carl, of course, a very credible news source. Mubs, put him into your news. And hey, Ben, speaking of radio personalities who lose it, have you guys heard from Tom Likas? Or have you heard of him? Yeah, I've heard of Tom Likas. I actually think I met Tom Likas once. He's in podcasting now. He isn't doing radio anymore. He's also online, and he's doing very well. Hate to sound like a buzzkill, but am I the only old fart who's a little bit concerned about the tendency to take an extra day off to create a long weekend? I have no problem with that happening now and again, but when it happens as regularly as it does in this country, I feel we're setting out to achieve mediocrity. It's like the standard which the teachers' union seems to aim for. Feel a bit peeved that you're not going to be around on Friday. Cheers from a huge fan, but a grumpy one, Mark.
Yeah, you know what? We need days too.
Yeah, Mark, I got to tell you, dude, you know, we produce so much content here. We do 3 hours a day of live original content. We come in here and we basically sit with you for longer than you would be in traffic. And I'm thrilled to do it. Don't get me wrong. We never have a day. I can't remember a day where we came in here and we go, oh, it's 9 o'clock. And, you know, we ran out of stuff at 8. It never happens. So I know what you mean, but there's so much for you to listen to, and I would advise you, if you are sitting on Friday with nothing to listen to, go back and listen to our archives. We have interviews with everybody and anybody you can imagine. We have great shows, aside from this one. Shows from right in the beginning. Shows that were recorded just last week that are worth a listen. So I promise you, Mark, it's not like we're not putting out plenty of stuff for you. And if we take Friday off, it's not going to kill anybody. If I'm doing the show for a live audience of a couple of thousand, you know, you want to do it for a few more. I wouldn't do this for my health, and I wouldn't do it for yours. I would do it for your enjoyment and hopefully for the enjoyment of a bunch of other people. Certainly not for a handful. And on Friday, I do believe a lot of people will be taking the day off, not tomorrow Friday, next week Friday. And therefore, it's going to feel like a public holiday anyway. I mean, who's going to be up at 6? You know? Not me.
Nope.
Not Mabali.
Not next week Friday, no.
Not Ben. So I'm sorry, Mark, you're on your own. And don't miss G-Man the Ad Man. He did a recording yesterday, a great show, Street Science. And they were talking about all kinds of interesting stuff on cliffcentral.com. So if you haven't heard that show, it's all about advertising. G-Man the Ad Man. You can find that on our new sexy site, cliffcentral.com.
Oh, it's a fantastic view here from this patch of mildew on the bathroom wall. Welcome to Barry's morning routine, Paul.
Thanks, Ken. As always, Barry steps up to the mirror in his too small towel after his too hot shower.
Yep, nothing but tummy and thigh, Paul. Tummy and thigh.
An ample display for sure, yep. Ken. Soft pinkness as far as the eyes can see.
And look at this. The way he turns eyebrow to eyebrows. Oh. This man's an artist.
Oh, look at the way he sings into that deodorant can. Watch out, ladies.
Oh, you know it. Oh, and wait. Let's see what he's going to do with those 3 strands of head hair.
Crikey, that is a perfect comb over. He has made 3 hairs look like 6, Ken. Respect.
Well, it is middle age in all its majesty, Paul.
True, and he is clearly pleased with the results, flexing his tiny biceps like a boss. Followed up with a wink and a whistle.
Oh, he is just oozing manhood, firing off a couple of finger pistols at his own reflection. Paul, does it get any better than this?
Let me tell you, somebody better get an ice pack because this man is on fire.
Flies see too much. Kill them. With Fast Deadly Doom, she draws a bee, an arrow, and a pair of pants. He answers,
No. Oh, Tahiti! Tahiti, it was Tahiti.
Pictionary, know your partner.
Sweat dripping from my body, we both at this party, so come and show me your moves.
CliffCentral.com.